From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect. Your input on today's topic is important to us. Join in the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE. ABQ Connect.
Welcome into ABQ Connect. Jim Williams with you. Steve Ryman. I'll be back with you again tomorrow, and I'm joined by my good friend Carla Sontag with the New Mexico Business Coalition and Better Together New Mexico. Hi, Carla.
Hi, Jim. Thanks for having me.
You are a tenacious person. You have to constantly be gaining knowledge and doing different things all the time. And I ran across the scripture, obviously, that I sent you this morning. Can I read it?
Please.
It says, the wise are mightier than the strong, and those with knowledge grow stronger and stronger. So don't go to war without wise guidance. Victory depends on having many advisors. Proverbs 24, 5 through 6. But you do have to be really tenacious, constantly, if you will, training and evaluating. And you have people that you talk with. And Carla, my first question is just, why can't our elected officials do what you do or take more advantage of the work that you do and get input on all of these issues?
Well, you know, it's a personal drive. And right now, our legislature and our government is full of people that identify as progressive. And that progressive mindset is to look for the ideal. So they don't really care about the facts all the time. They don't care about how do you get from point A to point Z? It's just this pie in the sky kind of thought, and that's what they want. And so they'll define what they want, put it in loose terms, make it a law, and then we all have to deal with it. So I'm not the only one. There are others that are constantly bringing them facts about, but if you do this, this is what will happen. And they don't want to hear that. And they'll tell you, I don't want to hear that. We just need to do this.
So I see this problem twofold. One, the voters aren't really sensitive, it seems to me, many times. New Mexico seems like we just held the status quo in this past election, presidential election. First thing we're going to talk about are the election results. But many, many states, including California, which I never would have imagined, many, many people changed their votes from incumbent Democrats, and this is at the state level and the federal level, and right, and elected people that they thought might change the narrative. We didn't do that in New Mexico.
Well, we did a little bit. There were about 5% more people who voted for Trump this time than last time. I think that there were a lot more people that came out to vote that didn't vote last time. These were good trends, both okay. of those trends. I'm not saying you should have voted for Trump or he was the one or whatever. What I'm saying is there were more people paying attention to the issues and deciding that they were not happy with the way things were and they wanted something different. Now, it didn't overcome the numbers that we have in New Mexico. So we stayed still very blue at the federal level compared to the rest of the U.S. But the other thing, we did gain one seat in the House and one seat in the legislature. We maintained the two Republican seats in Albuquerque, which are the only Republican seats in all of Albuquerque. And there was a big battle for those seats. So in the alternative to the Republicans, again, we're nonpartisan, but the alternative was a very progressive candidate running in both of those seats. One of them was supported so heavily that the Democratic Party brought Jane Fonda to New Mexico to do a fundraiser for this progressive. But the voters in that district said, no, we're going to stay on the more moderate side. And that's what they voted for. So I saw some positive signs in New Mexico.
Carla, you use the word progressive like it's a political party. And in many ways, it is a sub-party of the Democrat Party, right?
It should be its own party because, they've infiltrated and taken over the Democrat Party, but the Democrats do not subscribe to their ideals in the progressive platform. And you can talk to any Democrat that's a true Democrat that understands what a progressive is, they do not agree with that platform. And so I wish it were its own party. It would be a more fair representation of the people that are in the party and who are supporting the party than to say that Democrats support that, because what we have found is that they do not.
This is not on our little list of topics we're going to talk about, but I just can't help but think there's as many progressive people with that philosophy, that political orientation, that are in business as their right-wing Republicans. So why is there so much difference?
Well, actually, I would say there are as many Democrats as Republicans. There are some progressives that own business, but let's define a progressive, okay? What we're seeing, their ideal is, whether they outwardly say this or not, they are pushing for socialism, some even to the point of communism. And so that's the big difference. Democrats
I've heard them described as the party of control. They want to control people. They don't want them to speak up on their own and live their own lives and be independent.
That's right. And that's what is one of the elements in socialism, in communism. You have a controlling factor, and that's what you have addressed over the people.
Mm.
And that's why Democrats don't agree with that. You know, the difference between Republicans and Democrats is generally on social issues. Not always, and I'm not trying to generalize for either party, but that's where typically you would see the biggest difference. Sometimes you would see Democrats have a more liberal spending policy, but not always. You've got some Democrats that are more fiscally conservative than some Republicans. So there's a little bit of an ideological difference between Republicans and Republicans, but between those two parties and the progressive group, it's a night and day difference.
So the election of Donald Trump as president, in fact, I wanted to kind of see how the dates lined up. So there's all kinds of talk in New Mexico, and we'll talk to you a little bit about the legislature gearing up to already introduce legislation that's going to prevent Donald Trump from, basically giving the boot to people that are here illegally.
Right.
And by the way, I don't want to trivialize that. There's all kinds of pain involved in that. And I will tell you that many people that are not legally here in the United States may be here for the same reason we are. They just want to take care of their families and do other things. But we also know that there's an element that's not that.
Exactly.
They're criminal factions. And I don't know, you know, what the answer is, but it seems like there could be a dialogue. There's probably some people with some pretty good ideas. I think we need to involve law enforcement. We need to involve business. We need to have the courts involved. Somehow there needs to be a big powwow and figure this out. I'm a retired banker, so I could pull your credit report and an FBI background check on you in an hour or less. Mm-hmm. Now, I know the databases coming out of South America, Mexico, et cetera, are not as complete as what we would have here based on Social Security numbers and things, but it seems like we could actually create an immigration policy that wouldn't take somebody 10 years to immigrate into our country, because we need immigrants.
We absolutely do. And, you know, what's bothersome to me, if you look historically in the United States, it doesn't matter who's in control, Republicans or Democrats, neither has had the will to fix the immigration system in the United States. Mm. That really bothers me, because there are industries that depend on immigrant labor. There are immigrants that come in, for example, in the farming industry, and they'll pick crops, and then they kind of follow the seasons and go to different states, and they have work permits to do that. And that's good, because they don't want to live here. They want to come and work here, and then they want to go back home.
Yeah, and they're sending money to their families, and it's not as easy to make a living. I shouldn't say it's not as easy. It's they can make more money here and be more productive and take better care of their families if they work here. And they also have some protections. You can't just abuse somebody, even if they're a contractor.
Right.
So there's some protections. Maybe those are not afforded them in these other countries.
That's right. And it is very hard labor. I mean, they're honestly, they do some of the jobs that some Americans don't want to do. So we need that labor and we need that help. And I don't believe that Trump is looking to stop that because he knows it would be harmful to business. I think what he wants to do is get the criminal element that was allowed free rein to come into our country to get them out. And even people who may not be here legally, they want them out too, because they're endangering all of us. Mm. And then we need to fix the immigration system.
So, you know, this first segment we're spending on election results, I found it interesting that Michelle Lujan Grisham has made multiple public statements about defying Donald Trump. And now the Speaker of the House has done the same thing.
Yes. And so it's going to be a battle during the legislative session on that issue. And it really breaks my heart because you don't see them lining up to oppose any other president in history.
But Carla, you represent people that are farming green chili in Hatch, New Mexico.
Yes.
I mean, they're part of the New Mexico Business Coalition and Better Together New Mexico, and they need what we famously used to call green card workers. So somebody that's not a U.S. citizen, but they have permission and they have licensure to be here and
right.
to work, and they pay taxes and they send money home, and then they might go to another state. You know, Arizona may have a little bit later harvest.
Right.
Harvest is really the word I was looking for. So they can go to many different states and work, and then a lot of times in the winter they don't have to work because they've done such a great job in the spring and summer months.
Exactly. And then they can go home if wherever home is, or if they choose to stay. That's what I'm saying. We need to fix that so these people can come here, work in jobs where they want to work, and we need the help. We need the immigration system fixed. But in the meantime, we have had a complete open door policy. They know that they have let criminals into this country, and they just let them in. Well, they come in and they do what criminals do because their life is around stealing or hurting people or whatever. And so crime across the United States has gone up. And we know in New Mexico it's out of control, but there's a lot of other elements here. I think that is Donald Trump's focus, is to get the dangerous people out of the country. They never should have been let in. But instead, we have people in the legislature, the progressives, saying we have to protect everybody. Well, no, we don't. We do not have to protect criminals. But that really is their mindset. They do want to protect them. They do want to. They're the ones that forwarded the legislation to let them out of jail.
Yeah. The president and CEO of the New Mexico Business Coalition and Better Together New Mexico, Carla Sontag's in studio. We have a lot to talk about. She'll be with us till the top of the hour, so we hope you'll stay with us. We'll be right back. We are back on ABQ Connect, and I'm with Carla Sontag, and we were just talking off the air a little bit about, she mentioned crime a couple of different times, and people that are in the country illegally. Of course, we have people that are in the country legally committing lots of crimes, too, and so I kind of wanted to bring that up, Carla, because Larry Sontag, your husband, is a retired Albuquerque police officer. And right now we have some fundamentals of crime fighting that are just not there. It's right. kind of like, you know, let's get a coach in the NFL and outfit his NFL team with all former high school players that have never really played in the big leagues. Well, he's not going to be successful, not going right. to be competitive. We are 400 at a minimum officers light on the number of people, men and women, that we need standing the streets and protecting us in just Albuquerque. And there's reasons for that. The qualified immunity was removed so that now an individual officer, you can sue them as an individual, you know, civilly.
Right.
But let me tell you, again, as a retired banker, that makes no sense. And here's why. Would you rather, as a citizen in New Mexico, if you're wronged by law enforcement, again, I so much appreciate law enforcement, amazing men and women, we so much appreciate you. So I'm not picking on them. I'm just kind of giving an analogy. if you are in law enforcement today, you are a normal person. Hey, let's say you're conscientious and you save money and this and that. Are you going to have pockets as deep as the city of Albuquerque if you did do something wrong?
Yeah,
no. So this isn't actually helping victims of wrongful doing. What it's doing, it's creating a burden for people that are doing a great job.
Right.
So it doesn't even make any sense to have done it. It sounds good. It's virtue signaling.
Right.
And there's so much of that in what you deal with.
Right. Yeah. Well, and there's other issues I think that face our men and women in uniform besides qualified immunity. You know, right now in Albuquerque in particular, they've made it clear to the officers that the criminals have more rights than the average citizen. To a police officer, that's very bothersome.
And it's dangerous.
It is. It's dangerous for them. It's dangerous for us. And it really doesn't help the people on the streets. So they'll send the cops out to clean up after illegal camping. That's not their job. Their job is to be protecting us. They're told not to enforce certain laws, which have to do with people living on the streets.
Carla, if you and I went and pitched a tent on any corner in the city of Albuquerque and we left litter everywhere, stayed overnight, packed up our tents, and left all kinds of stuff on the street, we would be arrested and put in jail.
Yes.
But that isn't happening with a lot of people.
Right.
That are doing
but if you're permanently out there, they just turn a blind eye and let it happen, which endangers everyone, including the people who are living on the streets. So to me, we have laws and we have police officers who want to enforce those laws. That's what they're paid to do. It's what they're hired to do. I want them to do their job. Mm-hmm. I want them to protect all of us. They feel better about their work. That's the work they signed up for.
Yeah.
Not cleaning up litter in the streets after people who shouldn't have left it there.
And there's lots of good ideas from people that have law enforcement background, isn't there? I remember I talked with former Bernalillo County Sheriff Manuel Gonzalez about his trip to Washington while he was the Bernalillo County Sheriff. And he went and met with Homeland Security and the FBI and some of the other agencies, federal government agencies. He returned to New Mexico and had number of these agencies follow him.
Mm-hmm.
The results were over 300 arrests and removing criminals off the street. But incumbent Senator Martin Heinrich came out and said, oh, well, Manuel Gonzalez should immediately resign because he's joining the Trump team. And Manuel Gonzalez told us right here on the show, what is he even talking about?
Mm-hmm.
I went to try to take advantage of federal resources for crime fighting and to get some of those good ideas. You know, it's that scripture I read earlier. Knowledge is
yes.
something that's very beneficial to us. And that's what he did. Manuel Gonzalez was a Democrat.
Right.
And he was doing something, I think, very practical. So again, as voters, do you get frustrated that sometimes we're not asking the right questions?
I absolutely do. I get frustrated that we're not enforcing existing laws. They were put on the books for a reason. Let's enforce them. You know, Manny Gonzalez, you brought him up. He coined a phrase that had to do with the crime in Albuquerque. As the sheriff, he said, I will not allow these bird feeder policies. And that is, you continue to give. If you feed the birds, they're going to come and they're going to eat that food, right? And they're going to leave. Well, people are the same way. You give them the free benefits and feed them and take care of them and let them do whatever they want and just run wild, they're going to continue doing that.
Yeah.
They'll stay here for the food and they'll call their friends and say, come live with me in Albuquerque. And he said, we need to stop that immediately. And he was right.
Well, Carla, I want to talk about the Medicaid Forward program, and I'm going to do that in our third segment. Something that you've talked to me about personally is the family paid leave bill.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to be exactly what you just described. If you're going to give people time off and pay them, I'm sure there's going to be people that need that time. But there's
right.
going to be also a lot of people, just knowing the nature of man, my own nature, we're not going to always do the right thing, and that's going to cost an awful lot of money, and that's not been calculated. The real cost of doing the Paid Family Leave Act has not been calculated.
That's right. And when they do the estimates, this is the scary thing. The legislative body has analysts. When they analyze financially what this looks like, how many people are going to pay into it, because the individuals have to pay and then employers have to pay per employee. You calculate all the funds coming into the fund. They estimate the fund will bankrupt in a matter of years because of the excessive use that will take place in New Mexico.
A lot of stuff they publish doesn't make any sense. Hour before you came to join me today, I'm looking at the legislation that was passed last February in our New Mexico legislature, and they're talking about a maximum of 12 weeks. They're stating that employees would pay approximately $272. That's an average employee that makes, say, $40,000 a year. You'd pay $272 of your salary, a tax, into this fund. They're estimating that employer would pay $218. Okay, well, that is, you know, a little bit less than $500 that's been collected, right?
Right.
So this is what happens if you take 12 weeks off. At $15 an hour, and there's a lot of people making more than that, at $15 an hour, so 12 weeks is 60 workdays, 480 hours, and $7,200 in salary at $15 an hour. So all you're accounting for is $500 or a little bit less, but the actual cost is $7,200. Nowhere am I able to see where's that other money coming from. Well, they did say one thing. You start off with $32 million of startup capital.
Right.
And that's the part that's going to go away quickly.
Well, it is. And then when you see those numbers in play and all of the employees who will take the time off, that's what's going to hit the system a little too hard, harder than the system can keep up with. And so you have some people that won't qualify for the leave that are going to be required to pay into it.
Yeah.
And so then the system bankrupts and nobody gets anything. What have we accomplished?
Yes. Let's talk about the New Mexico Business Coalition, because you've looked at the money that Workforce Solutions has paid for various claims, especially during COVID, and you've assisted in telling them that isn't going to work and this would work. So there are people that you have as part of your organization and businesses that participate that have knowledge that could easily be shared and could maybe help us figure out a way to do something.
Well, I can tell you, we've already passed 8 paid days of sick leave. And that is already in effect. The paid family medical leave is not in effect. That is legislation they will work on again this year. Employers, for the most part, do not want this. They don't. 8 days is a lot for government to demand for sick leave. Now you're putting 12 weeks on top of that. 12 weeks is 3 months.
That's a lot.
Yeah. And 8 days is a week and a half. So you're talking about a lot of weeks. And then you're looking at a situation where if an employee goes out, what does the employer do? Do they replace them? When the employee comes back, you've got to give them their job back.
So calculating what they should have been paid isn't even close. You still have to, you have to pay another employee. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, you do. Or you have to put all that work on your other employees. If you're a small office like we are, I don't have other employees. I can't take the work from somebody for being out 12 weeks and dump it onto 2 other people because they have enough.
We're already seeing federal mandates for various things, benefits to employees. So you might notice that there's far less full-time positions available because if you're not full-time, that employer is exempt from providing these benefits.
Right.
So how many people are working less than 30 hours a month or 30 hours a week?
Right.
And because they'll let them work as much as they can, but not full-time hours. So they don't have to meet some of this criteria. And I think that people get very excited as voters when they hear about, yeah, well, I'm going to have this benefit. Like, for example, I know Sandia National Laboratories has had a great time over the years recruiting because they one of their advertising things is that they give you 6 weeks of paid vacation every year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's great. But they've been doing that for a really long time, and that's not a federally mandated or funded thing. That's something they do as an employer. So they've figured out how to do that.
Right.
And a little three-employee business doesn't have those resources.
That's exactly right. Some of our larger employers, and there's not a lot in New Mexico, they do have similar benefits. Well, they're concerned about this because will their program be grandfathered in or allowed, or do they have to convert to the state program? And if they don't convert, that's that much more money not going into the system to keep it afloat. And so the state has said, well, if you have a program and it qualifies, we'll let that go. That's great. But what about the money? The numbers don't work. And that's so you could have these pie in the sky kind of thoughts about, well, wouldn't it be great? Yeah, it would be great to give people 12 weeks off. But then you have to look at the mechanics of how does that work? How's it going to be funded? You look at Sandia, you know, they get a lot of funding from the federal government, mm-hmm. even though that program is not funded by the state, the government. So we don't have that kind of money flowing into New Mexico. And then they talked about exempting employers with less than 5 employees. That's great. That's me. I have less than 5, but my employees would still have to pay into it. I still am holding the bag if one of them goes out on that leave yes. to replace that person.
So Carla, there are a lot of business owners, and the purpose of our show and your purpose as a organization, as a nonprofit, you're not really in the business of criticism. You're in the business of making it work.
Right. And we're looking for solutions.
You're looking for solutions. So if you're a business owner, let's say you own a restaurant, you got 10 employees. Let's say you have a cleaning company and you have maybe 3 or 4 teams of people that are cleaning residences or whatever it might be. If they have all kinds of questions and stuff, how can the New Mexico Business Coalition help them?
Well, you should call us 505-836-4223 or find us online at nmbizcoalition.org. And you can connect with us through email. We're going to be doing a survey and asking people questions specifically about this, how it would work for them, what their reservations are, if they have proposed solutions. And we will be providing these to the legislature. So we're putting the survey together and we'll be sending it out. And we would welcome anyone to participate.
What's interesting is you're providing this to all the legislatures, those that would consider themselves far, far left, those that would consider them far, far right, and everybody in between.
Yes.
So they can't claim they don't know about your positions because you're going out of your way to provide the information.
Yes. And you know, the thing is, when we go to Santa Fe to talk about these issues, we're also bringing all this information from the survey. So we have all these business people that have replied to the survey. So it is not just our opinion within the New Mexico Business Coalition. It is representative of the business community that we seek to represent.
If somebody participates in a survey, do you sell their contact information or any of that kind of thing?
No, absolutely not. We've been in business for 15 years, and I have had offers to buy our data or to trade it. It never has happened, not a single entry. It'll never happen. I want people to be able to reply to us and feel free to say whatever they want to say. We're also not going to disclose their names to the legislators as well.
There were people running in state elections that I heard say, I'm going to fight for us to have universal medical care in the state of New Mexico. That sounds great. I'd like that to happen too. But when you talk about Medicaid Forward, which is a program that's now been proposed, the numbers really just don't add up. So that's the next thing we're going to talk about with Carla Sontag. We'll be back on ABQ Connect. Stay with us. We are back on ABQ Connect. We got this different intro music going on. Tayshaun's dropping it on me, but he tells me we're about to go back on, so shut up, Jim. Carla Sontag with the New Mexico Business Coalition in studio with me. We have a lot of fun, Carla. We've been doing this a long time.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate you taking the time to be on with us. I know that you are a Christian woman. You spend a lot of time not only coming up with policy and plans and talking with people, but you also put a lot of time praying about all of this stuff, don't you?
Oh, my goodness. Ours is a God-led mission. So we don't do anything without trying to put God in front of it. You know, that is my whole goal in life. As long as I'm following His lead, things go a lot better for us. And so that's always the goal. So yeah, we are in prayer constantly for our leaders. We, regardless of Democrat, Republican, progressive, we pray for them. We pray that they will make godly decisions. We would love to have more God-centered people serving in government, because I think it would resolve so many issues that we have if they were followers of Christ. But we don't have that luxury with everyone, but we love everyone the same, just like Jesus did.
And Carl, I want you to address this. There are people that are not believers. They don't share the same faith. They may and it may not be Christians. They may be Muslim, atheist, what you name it.
Right.
Somebody that is involved in political leadership that has a Christian faith position, those people are to be trusted by everybody, aren't they? Because they're not going to impose their will on people. They're fighting for liberty and freedom, aren't they?
Exactly. And that's very important, that regardless of what their religious faith is, that they should treat everybody with respect and to listen to them and to try to find resolutions and answers for everybody. So you can set faith aside, or you can let it guide you. But regardless of what your choice is, there are people who voted to put you in office, and they're relying on you to make good decisions for their life and their well-being. And that should be a primary concern for people in office.
Should we only pray for the people that agree with our political positions?
No, that's what I was saying. We pray for all of them, that they will listen and have empathy for everyone that's trying to speak with them, and that they'll make decisions that will work for the majority. You're not always going to make everybody happy. But when you look at some of these policies like paid family medical leave, when you have such a uprising from the business community saying, we don't want that, are they listening? And if they're not, why not? Because without our business community, employees don't have a job. And so it's not one against the other.
And Carla, we don't have a real robust, growing business community in our state, do we?
We do not. And this is why. Because we have the business community doesn't feel that they're often heard. And so it's not attractive to people outside of the state to want to come in and not be heard and not be able to feel that they are a part of the state. And it's interesting to me, we get these state statistics that say we've got this new company, that new business, all these employees they're going to hire. But then we get a report from a national agency on the outflow of people, and New Mexico is still at a net negative. We have lost more people than we have brought in. So it's great that the state's attracting new business, but they're obviously not doing well keeping the businesses that we have currently. Without that, we don't have growth. And in fact, we are losing people. So that really should be addressed. First and foremost, we need a more positive business environment in this state.
And not only positive, but productive.
Yes.
And sometimes you can have some fun.
Oh, of
course. So you have the business and social hours, January 16th, coming up from 5:30 to 7:30. At Tomasita's restaurant.
Yes.
Now, Tomasita's, you will be responsible for your own meal and that kind of thing. But Tomasita's is right off of I-25, I wish I had the address. I should have written it down, but I didn't. But that, tell us about that event and what can people expect?
We are actually providing dinner.
Oh, you are?
Yeah. When you buy a ticket, we will provide dinner and you'll have a choice of menu items. We are featuring the minority leader in the Senate, newly put into that position, and that's Senator
Bill Scherer.
Bill Scherer. Mm-hmm. And he's been around for a long time. He has quite a reputation of being the man that leads a lot of filibusters. Mm-hmm. So he's put into a very new role. But Bill is someone that gets along very well across the aisle and with all kinds of people. So we're looking forward to having him come and speak.
I want to go back to, I think that's going to be a fun thing. And it's neat to network with a lot of different people.
Yes.
A lot of like-minded people. And not necessarily affiliated with your political party. These are business people.
Right.
They are getting together and they want to know how to be more successful. I want to go back to that. The New Mexico Business Coalition, Better Together New Mexico, these organizations are designed to give people information. So you have newsletters that are released all the time. You have calls to action, which I know you do that throughout the legislative session. Tell us what those are and how those are useful tools.
Yeah, so we'll put together, for example, paid family medical leave. We're anticipating people will continue to be opposed to it. So we'll have a call to action and we will follow that bill from the time it's introduced until it, as it moves through the process. So if
it's, by the way, that's not easy.
No,
it is because not. By the time that gets somewhere, it's going to have several hidden things in it. And you know how to follow that. I don't know how you do that.
Yeah. So we're constantly staying on top of amendments and changes. But we will have it programmed, so a letter will go to the people on the committee. The letter's pre-written, but you can erase the whole thing and say whatever you want. If this is an opposition call to action, but you support it, you can use it for your support. It's that user-friendly.
So let me describe, because I've done this a few times. You go into the call to action on the NMBiz Coalition or Better Together New Mexico websites, and you'll see call to action. You click on it, and there'll be a topic, and then you click on it, and you see the pre-written letter. You put in your zip code and your address, I think, and then your representatives in the legislature and the state senate are going to get a copy of this letter automatically. So you can change it, or you can just click on the letter as written, and they will see that you support or you don't support a certain position. And it all happens in literally as long as it takes you to read the letter.
Right. And when you, the very first thing you're going to see, though, is a synopsis of the bill and why it is a problem or why it's a bill that we're supporting. So you can read about it. And then if you're interested in participating, then you click on the link and it takes you to that letter. You fill in your information, automatically goes where it needs to go. Now, sometimes we will focus just on committee members. So you may not have someone in that committee. We're just having people generally tell the committee we're opposed to it. When it will go directly to their legislator is when it hits the floor, because then we want their person to know that they oppose or they support that legislation. So they may see that same call to action several times because it goes through several committees, goes to the floor, crosses over to the other chamber, and follows the same pattern. So if the call to action continues to come out, that means that bill has moved to another committee.
Again, a tool for voters. Another thing that you do very frequently is you have scores available on how the various legislators have voted.
Yes, and we use that at election time, but they're still on the website. It's important to look at those because it'll give you a really clear picture if your legislator, your senator, or your representative is pro-business or not so much.
New Mexico Business Coalition, Better Together New Mexico, both nonprofit organizations here for our benefit. They're membership organizations. You can join those organizations, support them financially. They have a BASH event, Business and Social Hour, coming up January 16th, 5:30 to 7:30 at Tomasitas. How do you register for that?
Online. Under events, you can find information. That one is going to sell out real quick because we can only allow 85 people to attend. That's about half our normal audience. So if you're interested, you should get registered right away.
And that's, again, January 16th. So you have some time, but get it done. Manana, New Mexico. Don't wait. Get it done. Get it done right away. We'll be back with Carla Sontag for our final segment. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. Welcome back to ABQ Connect. Carla Sontag, CEO and president of the New Mexico Business Coalition and Better Together New Mexico. Two resources that I really hope you'll take advantage of, just so you can learn and actually understand. Legislative session coming up. We've already talked on the show about the election of Donald Trump. He'll take office, I believe, on the 20th of January.
Right.
The legislative session starts on the 21st.
Yes.
And already our governor and legislators in the state are talking about how to thwart whatever Trump wants to do. I find that comical, Carla.
Yeah. I find it a little disheartening. I mean, we are still part of America.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been presidents all through time where we have not supported or supported, but I've never seen state government stand up against a president that they were not enthusiastic about.
I want to read something that, again, you may not be a Christian, and I respect that. I wish you were. I wish we were all on the same page, but I recognize and respect people that have their own beliefs. But I'm going to read Luke 14:28. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Well, that's not really a religious position. That's just the truth. I don't know one person listening right now, I don't care what faith position or orientation you have, you are not going to disagree with that. That just makes perfect sense. So now let's go to Medicaid Forward. And I can't help but quote Matthew Narvaez, the journal staff writer, who says there's overwhelming support for Medicaid Forward in the state of New Mexico. And I question, who in the world is giving overwhelming support for this?
Yeah, because how many people have counted the cost? You know, when you look, this is the biggest problem that we have. And again, this goes back to what I said right at the beginning. You have these progressive ideas with this pie in the sky thought of what they want to see happen, this utopia, without giving due consideration to how do you make it happen? And can you? Can you afford it? Will it work? So I think this is what we're looking at right now. They're estimating Medicaid Forward is Medicaid for all. That means everybody.
Universal health care.
Right. And this is an expansion of Obamacare. They want to get those people that still don't have coverage covered if they want to be covered. They're estimating the cost would be about $88 million in reoccurring administrative costs.
This is just for New Mexico, by the way.
Yeah. And so they're saying our share of that would be $44 million. So they're thinking the federal government's going to pick up the rest. Well, I think you have to get that approved through the Congress before you can make that assumption. I mean, and I don't know, maybe Congress would think it's a great idea, but why would you look at passing legislation in New Mexico when you're saying that the federal government's going to pick up half that cost when you have no bloody idea what they're going to do?
So I have a couple of questions that I think would be good to ask legislators and federal government representatives, et cetera. Brazil, Norway, United Kingdom, Canada, they have universal health care, and it's large. There is some pay in by taxpayers. Singapore and Japan are the two highest rated countries in the world for health care quality, but they actually make their citizens pay into it a little bit, maybe not as much as we do. So these countries seem to have some success. I would love somebody to say, well, I've analyzed this and that, and here's the numbers. You know, some, like my son, he's a CPA. His firm could go grab all these numbers and actually make an intelligible presentation to all of us that don't understand all the numbers. There's actuarials that insurance companies have come up with that I don't understand. I mean, you got to be a Harvard graduate to understand that, but that's the way insurance companies make a profit. But I'm going to balance that statement with this question. How many federal agencies are there today that are run efficiently on budget?
Yeah. That, well, if we find one, we can talk about that. But one of the things that you mentioned, the countries that are held in high esteem for quality of care, when you look at some of these others, they don't have good care. Mm. So regardless of how they've made the finances work, I have met numerous people from Canada who have said, if you're, in fact, have you looked at their assisted suicide rate? Their advice to people, if you have an issue and you're older than 65, is, well, you could just kill yourself.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Euthanasia is becoming more and more talked about all the time.
And that's how they keep the costs down. I don't want to see America go to that. And the other thing is, we've met people from Canada who say if they want care, they come to the United States to pay for care. Mm. Because the system there, it's universal and it's low cost or free, but there is no service available.
Now, I'm going to balance that out. I'm not trying to be a dissenter necessarily, but I had some follow-up care today on some cancer treatment I got last year. So I show up at the urologist, and I am there for 4 minutes.
Wow.
Now, I charge my credit card $35. The doctor's very nice, very professional, tells me what he can tell me in 4 minutes. But really, that could have been done. Technology could have taken the place of that visit somehow.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
I mean, there's ways to make it more efficient. I mean, I spent more money on gas driving to Rust Hospital than I did, you know, being in the meeting.
Right.
So I know there's ways for us to make things more efficient, less cost, but there's a status quo. There's a way we've always done it. And that's where we seem to continue to be stuck.
Yeah, it's a real problem. And then for people right now, you think about how long it takes to get a medical appointment, just routine annual checkup when there's nothing wrong with you. You just want to go in for that annual checkup. And what are you going to wait? 4 to 6 months to get in? Now, let's say you've got something wrong with you. Mm. I just went through this. Mm. I needed some medical help. And they said the best we can do for you is 3 months.
That is scary. And Carla, that largely is because a lot of people have left the state.
Yes.
Largely because of some legislation that was done in 2021.
Yes.
And a lot of doctors left the state as a result. Now, I think last legislative session, Michelle Lujan Grisham tried to, I'm going to say, do too little too late to get recruiters back on board bringing doctors to the state, but that hasn't worked.
No, it's not going to work because she hasn't fix the underlying problem. And so if you look at Medicaid Forward or Medicaid for All, and you have this huge influx of people, and, you know, they are looking at how they give medical care to people who are not legal residents as well. Mm-hmm. And if it takes 3 months to be seen when you have an issue, how much longer is it going to take when we have a flood of people on the system? And who's going to pay the bill when we have that downturn, as we will, in oil and gas industry? And who's going to pay the other half if the feds say no?
So, Carla, is this normal for the New Mexico legislature to pass bills without counting the cost?
It is becoming more the norm. It's a scary, scary proposition. It's just like the expansion of government. We're at a point now where we can't afford it if we have a downturn. So contact us. Get involved.
Carla Sontag, New Mexico Business Coalition. Give the websites and the phone number if you would.
Yes, the web is nmbizcoalition.org. And the phone number is 505-836-4223. We hope to hear from you, and Merry Christmas.
Thanks, Carla.